Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your hump days are off to a good start. Get your fireworks ready to go for the 4th of July. We have talked a lot of NBA on this show, and that will continue to start hour number three because we needed somebody else to come on and make sense of everything that's going on in old Rip City. And joining us now is good friend of the program, good friend of the station, Jason Quick, senior writer for The Athletic at JW Quick on Twitter. You can go give him a follow. Quick, good morning to you, man. It's great to have you on. We're trying to make sense of, you know, just everything over the last handful of weeks. There's about 9 different angles that I could start this interview with. I'll start, though, with Ja Morant. I just, you know, that was so out of left field, and you're way more in tune with the Blazers and getting better sources and all that than we are. Did you have any indication? What was your reaction when you get a notification of the Blazers have acquired Ja Morant?
No, I was stunned. I was stunned. But clearly they believe that they are getting a guy without having to give up too much and a guy who has a lot of upside. And I'm writing a story right now. Yesterday in Columbia, South Carolina, Mike Anori and Ja Morant met for lunch. They had a 2-hour talk, and Anori was just blown away by Ja Morant. The seriousness in which he talked, the enthusiasm for which he talked. He thinks the Blazers are going to get a motivated Ja Morant, and they're going to get the best version of Ja Morant. And most importantly, he said, Ja is 100% healthy, and that's something that he told him. Neil, that's really – there's two things to Ja that have kind of dulled his rising star, and that is injuries and suspensions, you know, the gun stuff. But Micah, after their 2-hour lunch, was just blown away by the focus – the enthusiasm and just how he's approaching this. Not once did Ja ask him, what's my role? Am I going to start? How are you going to play? He just wants to play and he wants to win. And he was a lot of his approach and demeanor in Memphis had to do with the fact that they weren't trying to win games. You know, they were much like Portland was for a long stretch. They were trying to get more lottery balls, and that didn't sit well with him. So they're very encouraged by what they're getting with Ja. But it kind of has created an interesting dynamic. I think this is going to be a small, quick lineup now. I really think they're going to go with the 4 guards.
Wow. So you don't anticipate them making – because, you know, Jaylen Brown I'm not as convinced on anymore. The Celtics just signed Mike Conley.
That is not going to happen.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown. Okay, so do you anticipate any others, or is it maybe a Kelly Oubre at best?
Obviously, I think they will make another move. I still think they need to address their shooting. Yep. I think they could use another power forward. But I don't think it's going to be Jrue Holiday. You know, Micah right now is flying from South Carolina to Los Angeles to meet with Jrue Holiday. And everything that I'm hearing is they are making plans that Jrue Holiday is going to be a big part of what they're doing. And they think that Jrue can play a little bit of small forward. They think he can play down a little bit because of his size and his strength. So I think they're going to keep all 4 guards. Wow. But, you know, I think they'll explore that. Obviously, you never say never, but I don't think they feel a need to alleviate that logjam because they think they all can play together. So Micah says, hey, we're going to play fast, we're going to be fresh, and we're going to create confusion by going small.
Well, I know you've covered this team for a long time, and you're doing a great job around the league as well. Like, how many years in our lives with different coaches we've heard about the tempo, and then the Dame offense is actually run, and it's not as quick as maybe we thought. And Dame's coming off an Achilles, so I'm just kind of curious, the fit of Dame with Ja, a lot of people point to the defensive stuff, the size stuff, like how you just kind of mentally visualize that, plus Denny. We got high usage guys on this team. Just very interesting mix of guys that we're talking about that are going to be on the court at the same time.
Yeah, I think what happens with now with this is I think you're going to see a lot more pick and roll and than Micah originally anticipated. But with a small lineup, I think you're going to see a lot more pick and roll. And the thing with Micah and his offense is he wants decision makers. And he says the best thing about having all those point guards is they're all willing passers. But to answer your question, we don't know how, the dynamic between Ja and Dame. We'll have to see. And I think they'll have to see how they play together. But, I think it's a good luxury to have two talented guys like that. But and we don't even know what Dame looks like. I've seen, just like everyone else, the Instagram reels of Dame working out. I think he looks explosive. I think he looks in incredible shape. And we all know Dame's mindset. I think Dame's going to be motivated to prove that he's still one of the NBA's elite. So I don't know. I'm pretty excited by the potential of what this lineup could do. I think motivation for professional athletes, having a chip and having something to strive for, is an incredible asset. Dame has something he's working for. He wants to reestablish himself as one of the elites in the game. Ja is on a huge redemption story. He wants to show that he's healthy. He wants to show that he's still one of the best. I think that's a really powerful thing.
Hmm. I totally agree with that point. We talked about that yesterday. This is it for Ja. If it doesn't work out, I don't know who's taking a flyer. If he gets another coach fired or, obviously another incident. Jason Quick is our guest, JW Quick on Twitter, senior writer for The Athletic.
And here's another thing, real quick thing about Ja that I think this team needed. They needed a little bit of piss and vinegar. It needs a little bit of fire that he plays with and that he kind of exhibits. This is a group of really nice guys, really nice guys in that locker room, but kind of docile, kind of understated. Not a lot of, I'm going to get in your face and stir something up. Ja has a little bit of that fire. And, every team, I think, needs one of those. Years ago, it was Evan Turner, who's just kind of a little bit off, but he keeps the team. He'll say the thing that everyone wants to say.
Yeah,
but it might be inappropriate at the time. I think Ja kind of has that, and he won't be the alpha in that locker room. That's going to be Dame and Drew.
Yeah,
and so I think this is going to be an entirely different environment for Ja. He doesn't have to be the alpha. He doesn't have to be the star. He doesn't have to carry the weight of everything. And I think that can be, it could be a really advantageous thing for him.
Yeah, I that's why I kind of chuckle at the invoking of the Jailblazers of everybody on this team seems to be a stand-up citizen. You brought in one guy with a bit of a troubled past, but let's not equate that to what we went through, 20-plus years ago. I'm curious from the bigger picture, Quick, of it feels like a lot of off seasons we've had, going back to even the end of the first run with Dame, when you have years with two first round picks and hey, now's OG Anunoby. Who's the move? You're going to go get Mikal Bridges. What's this aggressive thing going to look like? Yeah. And it turns into drafting a couple of guys and you're like, okay, that, all right, we're kicking that can down the road a little bit. You go into the off season, and I would argue the Blazers have been as well set up for a long-term kind of big move that they've been in a long time, right? These Milwaukee picks, the Orlando picks, the swaps, the young pieces that you maybe have to play with. If it does turn into another offseason of we just kind of hold on to all these future assets, you're certainly taking a buy low but a chance at a high reward swing on Ja Morant if you could figure it out. What's your thought, though, I guess, in the aftermath of it? And did you think this was the offseason that they would go trade, five first-round picks for fill-in-the-blank player here?
I did. I had the sense that they were going to make a big swing. And, is this the big swing? I don't know. We'll see. It's starting to trend that way. It's looking that way, but I still think they're active. I still think they're looking, but it's not the worst thing if they don't. There's still the trade deadline. There's still next off season. So, I think there's an element of let's see what we got here. But it's still an imperfect roster. Like I said, I still think they need some more size, certainly more power forwards. And I don't think that having those four guards is sustainable for a long period of time. I just think it's kind of a disservice to all four of them because eventually someone's going to be like, man, I want some more playing time.
Right,
you know?
Right.
How close do you think they got to Jaylen Brown?
Not at all. From what I've been told, that they were never high on him, never valued him as an asset to go for. And they asked for 4 first rounders from Portland, and Portland's like, no, you know. So I don't think it ever got close with Jaylen Brown.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. I'm talking with Jason Quick, senior writer for the NBA Athletic, at JW Quick on Twitter, covering the Blazers for a very long time, chatting about everything going on in the offseason. I'm just curious from – I know you've written about it and you've been at press conferences, and, you know, there's a lot of headlines about the owner right now. You know, we went from having Paul, who was so rich and just kind of, you know, out of sight, out of mind.
Speaking
other than
piss and vinegar.
Right. His 2 press conferences a year, to Jody, who was in the trust, but we never, I don't even know if she could talk because I never heard her voice before. And now to Tom, it's just such a change. And there's been so many negative headlines, you know, the layoffs and all. I just, as somebody who's been around the organization a long time and covered the team for a long time, what have we made of the last handful of months in the new Tom Dundon era? And now this lingering fear that an arena deal might not get done and the team could be on the move.
Well, I'm kind of the school of, I want to see how it plays out a little more. I don't want to rush to judgment on him. Mm. I don't like how every single thing, though, he can't help but make it about himself. Every single thing, you know, even in the playoffs, everything was about Tom Dundon didn't do this. Tom Dundon did this.
Yeah.
And now, you know, even in the coaching search, he can't give Micah the security that most coaches are afforded. You know, so I just wish he could make it less about himself, but also let's see how it works out. Maybe he's really smart. I don't know.
Right.
But my sense is that I wish he cared about Portland more. I don't think he cares about the city. I don't think he is passionate about keeping a team here. I think if he gets the chance, he will move the team. But I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt and see how things play out.
It's very interesting offseason, I think, for the Trailblazers when you kind of look at a lot of the moves. And the Ja Morant one that's making the headlines, I'm, first of all, looking forward to the piece and what you're writing about with Mike and Nori meeting him. But we had Gary Parrish on. He's a longtime Memphis radio host. He does stuff with CBS and pretty plugged in. And we basically asked, like, has there been indications Ja off the court has changed? I know he's been arrested, but just some of the stuff that we've heard about over the years. And he said, look, I'd love to tell you otherwise, but I don't think the trade happens if that's true. And so he hasn't seen anything that shows it. As somebody that's writing about Mike and Nora meeting him, what have you heard, I guess, about Ja Morant? And it may be a sneak peek at what we look forward to reading about Ja Morant now, the Blazer, the guy that they're hoping can change kind of what his career has become.
Well, Micah raves about him, and, you know, Micah had some players, Kyle Anderson. He knew his agent at one point, Mike Miller. There's another front office guy that had him, and he says they all raved about him as a guy that he cares about winning. He cares about people. I think where the question mark maybe comes in, and Portland's familiar with this, is the entourage, the people around him. He has maybe some bad influences, but, you know, like we talked about earlier, this is kind of one of those last chance opportunities, I think, for him to kind of straighten up. And, so we'll see if he kind of heeds that call. But from everything Micah says, that he is a good kid. He certainly hasn't shown that all the time, but we'll see. You know, I'm really torn on this. I'm all for second chances. I love redemption stories. Mm-hmm. But I've been doing this long enough to know that it seldom happens. It didn't happen with DeAndre Ayton. It didn't happen with Hassan Whiteside. The only person I can think of who really reinvented himself and kind of learned from his mistakes was Zach Randolph. Mm. you know, so is there a Zach Randolph redemption story in Ja Morant? That's what's going to be interesting to see. And I'm willing to afford him the space to make that change, but certainly everyone's going to be looking at him and waiting for him to show his old colors.
Yeah. Every part of his life will be in a fishbowl. Was it a bigger story yesterday that they signed a fourth center to the roster and then that they got a guy that I've never really heard of before in Brendan Carlson? Was that the bigger story, or was it what the message sends about last year's first round pick and their faith in him going into the second year of his NBA career?
Yeah, no, I mean, you clearly are reading that, right? That they don't have confidence in that Young can step in. You know, that has been the number one thing that everyone I've talked to in the Blazers going into free agency was like, we need big man depth. We need big man depth. They thought they were out on Robert Williams because he was asking for 15. They were comfortable at 10 to 12. But eventually they, you know, Robert wanted to come back. They talked about and they made some concessions as far as what's guaranteed, what is not. And so I think they knew that they needed someone in case Robert wasn't able to play the 60, 70 games. And so they wanted a little bit of protection there, and that's why they went out and got a fourth center. But yeah, it's a little concerning that they can see that, you know, hey, this guy's not ready to play yet, even though we burned a first round pick on him last year. So yeah, make that of what you will, but I think the Robert Williams signing is just enormous for this team. I mean, how good he was last year, particularly in the playoffs. And there, that need also the need to sign Robert increased when they, you know, committed to Ja, because Ja and Dame are not the greatest perimeter defenders. They're going to need some kind of deterrence at the rim. And that really up the importance of having two guys back there. And you're going to hear Micah Nori say this a million times. He's got 48 minutes of protection. That's what he says. We've now we have 48 minutes of protection at the rim, 48 minutes of protection at the rim. So they're ecstatic that they have a stable of centers who are going to be able to protect the rim. Because they're going to need it.
Yeah.
Are we going to get any Jason Quick down in Anaheim tarps off yelling for Artie Moreno to be fired? Are you going to join the party down in Anaheim?
Oh, boy. I tell you, right now, people do not want to see this guy with his shirt off. I'm guaranteeing you that.
I'm right there with you, buddy. I'm right there with you.
Hey, we were talking about that yesterday, Quick. Like, which one at the Fan is most likely to have a full nude photo of themselves on the phone? I voted Sukanik. I think Sukanik's in the running in this category.
Oh, no question. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
You got to have some body confidence in order to take that picture. I'm certainly not in that category right now. I'm not going anywhere near that bathroom selfie. You got anything fun in the offseason? I mean, I know the next couple of days are probably so chaotic seeing what everything looks like. You doing anything fun this offseason?
No, I am not.
Nothing big. We're just hanging around.
I'm not. But, yeah, hanging around. And I think I'm going to start doing more Blazer stuff.
Nice.
I think I'm going to kind of embark and embed myself with this team again, because I think there's a ton of interesting stories there. I think Mike Anori is going to be a fun cover. I think people are really going to like him from a personality standpoint. And just listening to the guy talk basketball, he is really innovative, really fascinating. And I think one of his strengths is being able to take complicated basketball stuff and tell it to the average fan so they can understand it. So I think people are really going to like his personality and his the way he views basketball and his kind of genius in devising plays and stuff. I think they're going to be a fun watch.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I'm watching that press conference. I'm not a basketball savant by any stretch of the imagination, and I'm like, he's kind of making sense to me. I know what he's talking. I feel like I got more out of that press conference than I did with any of the coaches over the last 5 to 6 years. Last one for you. I'm just curious, because you obviously were there for it, and it's been a big deal we've talked about for a long time. Did we watch the Jailblazer documentary, and what was the takeaways from the Netflix doc, if you did?
I eventually did watch it, probably about 10 days ago.
Mm.
I thought it was not very good.
Yeah.
I thought it skipped a bunch of stuff. I thought it was a piece to appease those three players. Mm. Yeah. And I thought it was a lot of revisionist history going on. you know, that was a mess. And I find it very telling that they didn't talk to either of the coaches, Mike Dunleavy or Maurice Cheeks, yeah. who they drove absolutely nuts. So it's really telling. I thought they had an angle to tell, and they tried to portray themselves as victims.
Yeah.
Would Rashid say hi to you if you saw him tomorrow on the road?
No.
No.
Okay. No.
All right. I didn't think so. But
Bonzi and I are cool now, though.
Okay.
Bonzi and
right.
I are back to being cool. We've had a very on again, off again relationship, but when they came for the reunion, we had a really nice meeting.
That's good. That's good to hear. Jason Quick is his name. Great to hear. Music to the ears of Blazer fans. He's going to be back around covering the team. Closer senior writer for The Athletic, at JW Quick on Twitter. Thanks for getting up with us on a Wednesday morning, Quick, man. It's great to catch up with you, and look forward to the piece on Jock coming out and Mike Anori, and let's do this again soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Take care, guys.
Yep, there you go. Jason Quick of The Athletic. Some stuff to react to there.
Just a little bit.
Little bit. How about our coach going coast to coast, visiting players? Tommy Two Nickels is paying for that?
Yeah. Is he expensing it, or is it like Tommy Dundon going,
is that on your own dime? We got a lot of questions here.
Also, maybe my segment idea wasn't awful of what if they don't do the move.
They're totally going to do it. They're totally going to do it.
Hey, look, I don't know if I'm right, but
they're totally going to do it.
They're going to do it.
Let's react to all of that. Let's get through it next on The Fam.